Hi there, and a very warm welcome as every Friday to Bergos Now. My name is Aurelia Rauch, and here with me today is Christoph Jung. Hi, Christoph.
Hi, Aurelia.
I'm glad to see you. It's our quarterly review of what's going on in the bond market.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, and it's time again. And I would like to report on what's been happening in the bond market over the last quarter and perhaps speculate a bit on what's to come.
That sounds great. Dive right in.
Yeah, I mean, the end of the quarter is always a good time to take a step back and reflect, to ask ourselves, what were the key macroeconomic impulses and drivers that moved the bond market? Which trades were particularly successful or run into difficulties? Were there any unforeseen events or geopolitical actions that also influenced our macroeconomic view and forecasts? And what assessments did we have to revise or even abandon? And yes, there were once again a few challenges.
Christoph, okay, I got it. We're doing a roundup of bond market and what has been happening and what is happening. So let me start with a question, I guess, that you raised a little bit earlier already. What are actually the key macroeconomic impulses that do drive the bond market? So what are we actually talking about here?
Yeah, the first quarter of 2024 was characterized by a significant change in the market perception based on various economic indicators, actually on both sides of the Atlantic. First and foremost, the robustness of the labor market was particularly noteworthy. In the US, we still have an unemployment rate of a low 3.8%, and in the Eurozone, according to Eurostat, it has been at 6.5% for some time now, which is historically very low. Additionally, the service sector continued to show particular strength, even remaining on a growth mode, and we observed stable continuous wage growth. For example, wage growth in the US remains above 4% compared to the previous year. When we subtract the overall inflation measured by the Consumer Price Index, currently at 3.5%, this even results in positive real income growth. And yeah, moreover, it was also observed that the savings rate decreased. And all of this combined was also reflected in appealing consumer behavior. We, as you maybe also do, or as you see just recently in the US, despite the rising inflation in March, consumers were not deterred and even made more purchases than the previous month. So people go shopping and retail sales have been rising in recent months, which in turn suggests a solid economic development.
Let's stay with the Fed for a second, because last week I spoke here with Jörn Kützau, and he pointed on the day that we were recording to the fact that the Fed was, or I guess there were new inflation numbers coming out. So didn't the Fed just recently revise the forecast?
Yes, exactly. The Fed revised the estimates for economic growth from, I think, 1.4 to 2.1 in their last Federal Open Market Committee in March, and also slightly adjusted inflation from 2.4 to 2.6% upwards.
Okay.
Thus, the recent data show, as explained before, solid growth and ongoing strength in the labor market, but also a lack of further progress this year in returning to the inflation target of 2%. Mm-hmm. So the market is also becoming increasingly aware of this. And as we have seen, particularly concerning inflation, in the two-year break-even rates of US inflation protection securities, so-called TIPS, that they were rising.
TIPS, okay, hang on just a second. Can you quickly explain what that is, that term?
Yeah, TIPS stands for Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, and are particularly valuable investments when you're expecting higher inflation than the market predicts.
Okay.
So they are special bonds issued by the US Department of the Treasury and provide investors with protection against inflation, as the principal value adjusts with inflation. So the principal is also the inflation measured by the Consumer Price Index. Mm-hmm. So in other words, when inflation rises, so does the value of TIPS, meaning investors receive an inflation-protected return. And TIPS pay semi-annual interest on the inflation-adjusted principal of the bond. They are a way for investors to protect themselves against value erosions due to inflation, okay, and are often used in portfolios as diversification instruments. With the two-year break-even now at almost 2.9 2.3% to be exact. This means that inflation must average 2.39% over the next 2 years for investors to earn the same as with plain vanilla 2 years treasuries.
Okay, let's talk about the interest rate landscape generally. What does that mean?
Yeah, as explained before, that the TIPS, the two-year inflation break-even, is at 2.9%. And this also means the market realized that such an environment, especially in the US, also with the economy, does not allow for an imminent interest rate cut. And interest rate may remain a little bit higher for longer than previously assumed. And this was also everywhere a bit the topic in the media again. Consequently, there was an adjustment in the probability of future interest rate cuts during the year, with the market increasingly expecting that a rate cut might only be considered by the ECB in the summer, and that the Fed they pushed even further into the future, precisely because of the factors mentioned in the beginning and the persistently stubborn inflation figures.
Mm-hmm.
The number of expected rate hikes during the quarter was thus significantly adjusted. At the beginning of the year, 6 rate cuts by the Fed and even 7 by the ECB were priced in. By the end of March, only about 3 rate cuts were expected for both central banks. There was thus a convergence with the central bank's assessment. The dot plot charts after the March FOMC meeting showed that the majority of the members considered 3 rate cuts in 2024 to be appropriate. Now, there are already voices suggesting there might not be any rate cuts anymore in the US. So we saw, as explained, quite a big change in the tone.
And Christoph, then let me ask you, what does this mean for the portfolio? Let's get a little bit more meat on the bone here.
Yes, the emerging outlook for a longer period of higher interest rates in the Eurozone and in the US had significant effects on the yield curve. So short-term bonds, such as 2-year treasury notes, reacted particularly sensitive. So the yield on the 10-year German Bund rose noticeably. This development had a negative price effect, which sovereign bonds, with their currently appearing high yield, could not offset. The broadly based Bloomberg US Aggregate Bond Index, for example, recorded a loss of around -0.8% over the quarter. And the counterpart for the Eurozone lost around 0.3%. The pressure for higher interest rates is quite present in the market at the moment, and it could continue. However, in our base case scenario, we believe that higher interest rates will lead to a slowdown in the economy growth and a gradual decline in inflation, allowing the central banks to ease their restrictive monetary policies. Historically, a period of interest rate cuts is a good time to increase duration in fixed income investments. But duration is a highly flexible term.
Mm-hmm.
We believe high quality fixed income securities with medium maturities have the potential to achieve total returns significantly above current yields. In particular, the front and middle part of the yield curve offer an attractive entry point. On the other hand, the very long end of the yield curve may react less strongly to interest rate cuts due to the currently high issuance volume of government bonds and the return of a term premium. Consequently, there would be a normalization of the yield curve, with the inversion being lifted and returning to a normal course with adequate term premiums. It is quite possible that the Fed in the US will slow down the pace of the quantitative tightening, processing to avoid a liquidity squeeze and unwanted volatilities. But on the other hand, the ECB will probably accelerate the tightening. The market will most likely have to absorb more government bonds in any cases. So, and given the current price levels, there is little room for unexpected economic, monetary or geopolitical events to have noticeable impacts. And unfortunately, there are numerous such events at the moment.
Indeed, absolutely. Any specific one you want to mention?
Yes, of course. In addition to the tragic conflicts that we read about in the media, the price of aluminum has risen by over 9% on the future exchange recently, which, depending on the scenario, can have an inflationary effect and indirectly put pressure on the interest rates. Commodity prices are often seen as a central cause of high inflation rates worldwide, and indeed, there is a close empirical relationship between commodity prices and the inflation rate. In this case, the trigger was the newly imposed import ban on metal products of Russia origin by the US and the UK, and aluminium, copper and nickel produced after April the 13th from Russia will no longer be traded on the world's two largest metal exchanges in London and Chicago. So, as seen, that can have a big impact, sanctions. And oil certainly also plays an important role, and we know where there is plenty of it. So, but maybe to finalize and going back to bonds, we believe that compared to, for example, stocks, the total return of bonds tend to react less sensitive or volatile, as the yield cushion, that is the coupon, helps to mitigate potential negative impacts. And we remain optimistic for the asset class as a whole and maintain tactical positions in the portfolio context at overweight. We find the current yields appealing, and for example, the yield to maturity for 2-year treasuries, thanks to the still inverted yield curve, is at an attractive 5%. A portfolio of corporate bonds with a duration of nearly 4 can achieve a return of over 5.75%. These are also appealing figures, right? And also in euro, for example, the 2-year German Bund is almost back to 3%. And there, a corporate bond portfolio invested over 1 to 10 years in average comes to around 3.8. So bonds have actually become even more attractive in real terms.
Christoph, thank you so much. That's really wonderful. I know that you published this week, or well, when our dear listeners are receiving this, it will be published in our Reflections. This is our quarterly magazine. So anybody who would like to read a bit more in depth, I can highly suggest that magazine, which is available on our website in a digital format. Christoph, thank you so much for taking the time today. It was very dense and very information rich. So thank you very much for the roundup.
Thank you much, Aurelia.
And we thank you, as always, very much for listening. We hope you have a beautiful weekend ahead of you and then a pleasant and very successful week. We are back next Friday. Until then, bye-bye.